I live on Buchanan. Buchanan and First.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's nice, but actually, next week is my last week here. I moved to Spokane. Well, my girlfriend is getting her PhD there now, so I better follow.
Yeah, that's a long
time. Yeah.
So you got a job lined up?
Yeah, I'm with the DOH, the state. So as a cultural environmental resource specialist for them. So that'll be exciting and new and different.
Good. Yeah. RJ, then you have a caseload already?
Yeah. Sure.
Scott's just got to give me the download before he leaves.
Yeah, get to it eventually.
I don't want any of your files. I have enough of my own.
Most of them are closing, hopefully, except for those I've already given out.
Yeah.
You will get a short clap, but you'd
have gotten, piece of cake.
You'd have gotten that eventually, anyways.
Yeah.
Hopefully finish the decision for both of us this afternoon or tomorrow.
Now I'm back where I was before, where all my files were in noticing. They all needed staff reports, and now I'm there again.
Yeah. Gotta spread them out.
It's hard when they all come in at the same time.
I know. Mm-hmm. You don't extend that far east, do you, with your duties?
So,
you don't extend that far east with your duties, do you?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah, Whitman County, City Wall.
Okay.
It's just
yeah. Well, I'll be all. Apparently, it's like a statewide position. Do all the permitting for municipal drinking water systems throughout the state. So our paths may cross again. Yeah. might be sitting at that table.
Yeah. When are you ready? All right, everyone, I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the October 16, 2019 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kotkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which include conditional use permits. That's what we have on the agenda for today. I consider that testimony and evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all written materials that are already on file in order to make my decision. This hearing process does have certain rules, but I still try to conduct the meetings in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a process that we're going to follow. First of all, staff will present their report and make whatever recommendations they wish to make. We're going to take each application, obviously, separately. Then the applicant or the applicant's representative is given an opportunity to present testimony and evidence. The applicant does have the burden of proof to show compliance with all of the applicable laws and regulations. Then if somebody from the public came to testify, I'll give you that opportunity to do so. And if there's any testimony in opposition to the project, then I will give the applicant an opportunity to submit whatever rebuttal testimony they wish to make. Because the applicant has the burden of proof, the applicant gets the last opportunity to present evidence. Going to testify, come on up to this microphone here at this empty table. I'll have you state your name and address, and then if you're going to give evidence, I will swear you in as a witness and ask that you keep your testimony relevant to the application that we're talking about, not to issues beyond the scope of the proposal. If you have anything in writing that you want to submit today, you can do so, but what I would ask is that you not read what you want to submit into the record, because that just takes up time. If you have something in writing you want to submit, then that's fine just to do so. As we go through the hearing, I may or I may not ask questions on a particular project. Please do not read anything into whether I do or do not ask any questions. I've read all the materials several times. I'm very familiar with all of the proposals and the applications that are before me. So I may or I may not ask any questions. Again, just don't read anything into that. If you come up to testify, this is not a question and answer period. This is a time for you to present your testimony as to whether the project does or does not comply with the applicable laws and regulations. So there won't be any questions of staff or of the applicant. I just want to hear what's relevant to me is our facts as to, again, why the project does or does not comply with the code. At the fall, at the conclusion of this hearing, I can keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. I think everybody signed in, but there is an attendance roster to enter this hearing room. If you haven't signed in yet, you can do so on your way out. By coming and testifying at today's hearing, you may obtain important legal rights, so it's important that we're able to document your presence here today. Any cell phones, please check them now and make sure they're either turned off or in silent mode so as not to cause a disruption for the hearing and people who have taken the time out of their day to come here. So now, in except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding request for reconsideration and request to reopen the hearing, my decision on each of these matters will be final and conclusive unless they are appealed. Appeals are by means of what's called a land use petition action for each of these items. Those appeals have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of my decision. And if the appeal isn't timely filed, the appeal will be barred. The bottom line is that if you are considering an appeal of any of my decisions, you really should seek immediate legal advice. I've reviewed each item on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in any of the properties or the proposals you heard today. I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider each item on today's agenda. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for each item, along with all the file materials, which included the application materials, the agency comments that have come through, there's public comments that have come through, noticing documents, SEPA documents, expert witness reports, site plans, other than essentially receiving and reviewing the entire planning staff file for each item, I've not had any communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. So those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as the hearing examiner for any of the items on today's agenda, if you do have an objection, you need to come forward and state so at this time. Hearing none, we'll turn to the first item on today's agenda. This will be a short item. This is Administrative Appeal AA-2019-003. This matter has been resolved by voluntary agreement between the parties. This hearing is stricken today pursuant to agreement by the appellant and by Chelan County. So if anybody came for this administrative appeal hearing, just let you know that right now. Second item on today's agenda is a conditional use permit amendment application, an application number CUPA 2019-002. This is an application for a conditional use permit amendment requested by Crown Castle as an agent on behalf of AT&T for improvements to an existing telecommunication facility located here in Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. For the record, at this time by this reference, I will admit all the end of the record, the staff report, the attachments to the staff report, which included all the application materials, all the agency comments that have come through, the noticing documents, I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record by this reference and turn this matter over to Ms. Morgan for the staff presentation.
Thank you. I am Emily Morgan, staff planner for this project. So this is for a conditional use permit amendment for the improvements to an existing telecommunication facility. The existing facility consists of a 50-foot wood monopole supporting the AT&T equipment. The proposed modification includes the removal of the wood monopole and replacing it with a steel monopole. This replacement will accommodate the relocated equipment that has been designed to support future telecommunication co-locations. The existing propane tank and concrete slab within the fenced compound will be replaced with a diesel generator. This project is for the resubmittal of a previously approved conditional use permit, which was requested, which requested the same modifications as the present. The proposed modifications were not completed within the 3-year time frame from the approved date, therefore requiring a reapplication for the same project. Staff has reviewed the application and submitted materials and reviewed them in compliance with all applicable county codes and therefore recommends approval as conditioned.
All right, thank you very much. Is the applicant here today? Okay, would you like to come forward, please? Thanks for coming in. I'll have to state your name and address for me.
My name is Amanda Nations. I am with Crown Castle, address 1505 Westlake Avenue, Seattle, Washington, 98019.
Okay, your name
will probably be really. Oh, sorry, Amanda Nations.
Nations, just like I would normally spell it? All right. Raise your right hand for me. You swear or affirm to penalty perjury the testimony you give to be true?
Yes.
And thank you. Are you here as an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the property owner and applicant today?
Yes.
All right. What would you like to tell me about this project?
I agree with the staff report and recommendation. I have nothing additional to add. Emily gave you the scope of work, and I'm just here to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, again, just to make clear for the record, you reviewed the proposed conditions of approval?
Yes, I agree with all the conditions and the recommendation, yes.
All right, thank
no
you
objections
very much
to anything.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add about this project?
No.
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Thank you very much
okay
for coming in.
Thank you.
Did anybody from the public come to testify on this matter? Is there anything further from staff?
No, nothing further.
All right, Ms. Nations, I'm going to close the public part portion of the hearing. I'll have my written decision made within the next 10 working days.
Okay.
I'll turn to the third item on today's agenda. This is also a condition of use permit application. We have an application number 2019-009. This is an application for a permit requested by the Bear Mountain Water District for the installation of new water reservoirs for some developments that are located within Chelan County that are specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. And for the record, I'm a little bit into the record at this time by this reference, the staff report, all those application materials, which include site plan drawings, there's photographs, aerial photographs. There are agency comments that have come through. There's noticing documents. I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference. And turn this matter over to Ms. Morgan again for the staff presentation.
Thank you. So this conditional use permit is for the installation of new water reservoirs for the Hawks Meadow and Hawks Ridge developments. The improvements will take place on two separate sites, but they were reviewed under one conditional use permit. And this will include on site one, the installation of a 50,000 gallon water tank to support the capacity of an existing reservoir. The improvements for site two is again the installation of two 125,000 gallon water tanks, and these will replace the existing 21,000 gallon reservoir on site. The proposed water reservoirs are to upgrade the existing infrastructure in order to adequately meet fire flow requirements. The proposed water reservoirs for site one will supplement again the overall capacity for an existing, and the new will for site two will replace the existing. There was concerns and comments from the applicant as well as people that in the community regarding the fencing requirement. Typically with these types of projects, staff recommends that landscaping be waived as the fencing can supplement for that. However, because of the concern for aesthetics, the landscaping was requested in the recommended conditions of approval. Staff has reviewed the application with submitted application materials in compliance with all applicable county codes and therefore recommends approval as conditioned.
All right, thank you very much. Is the applicant here on this matter?
Yes.
All right, can you come forward, please? I am going to ask you for your name and an address.
My name is Doug Wilcox, W-I-L-L-C-O-X, and my address is 1101 Stan Wilcox Road at Palouse, Washington, 99161.
All right. Mr. Wilcox, would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm to tell me perjury that any testimony you give today will be true?
I do.
Thank you very much. And sir, you're here as an agent authorized to appear and speak not only on behalf of the water district, but on behalf of the property owners as well.
On behalf of the water district, the property owners have representation here today as well.
Okay. All right. What would you like to tell me, sir?
The water district supports the staff's recommendation for approval, but I'd like to hit on a couple of points. First of all, while it's mentioned that the justification for the project is for improved fire protection, I want to speak a little bit to the severity of the fire risk situation. There are 49 parcels within the combined Hawks Meadow Hawks Ridge project, each 20 acres in size, and most, at least 90% of each of those parcels is basically range land with highly flammable materials on it. And everybody remembers the range fire and extraordinary damage in Chelan a couple of years ago. And this property was right in the line of fire if that wind hadn't have shifted. So that's the motivation for doing what we're doing. Furthermore, the properties are all beyond 5 miles from the Chelan Fire Station. They're all in, within a distance of 6 to 10 miles from the Chelan County Station in Chelan. And so the Washington Survey and Rating Bureau designates this whole area as a Class 10, which is the highest and greatest fire risk classification, and represents the level of difficulty for a fire response to fight a fire. So the added storage capacity is going to provide the opportunity for all 49 parcels to simultaneously irrigate a perimeter of defense around their buildings and thus minimize the risk of fire in the case of a range fire. So it's critically important that this get done and the people's safety and properties be preserved. The added capacity is furthermore going to allow for the fire department, once their apparatus is on site, to recharge their water supply within the site rather than having to run a long distance away to get more water. So this is the enormity of the situation. The other area that I'd like to address would be the condition of approval, number 7, the requirement for fencing. The residents will speak to their opposition to this, but I'd just like to point out some facts. First of all, the code, the county code requiring the fencing is very lacking in definition of the purpose for the fencing or any specifications for the fencing. By contrast, the largest security risk for an installation of this sort would be the invasion of the reservoirs and the contamination of water. And the agency in the state that is solely responsible for overseeing and administering to public water supplies is the Washington State Department of Health. And over the years with the existing reservoirs, we've never had any indication from them during their routine sanitary surveys that a fencing installation should be made. And with respect to the proposed reservoirs that had to be approved by way of an engineer's project report, here again, their review of the project resulted in no indication of a requirement for fencing for the purposes of protecting the water supply, and it was approved. The builder of the reservoirs has to have his design for the reservoirs, which largely includes the installation of access ladders and that sort of thing, approved to meet Washington WAC code and the federal OSHA requirements, and this they do. These ladders are the ladder that accesses the roof hatches, which is the point of access into one of these reservoirs. They start at 10 feet off the ground, so they're not readily accessible, and these are the requirements that they have to meet with these administrative agencies. The last reason beyond the authorities' approval is the fact as a matter of, with respect to the matter of, say, the reservoirs and their pertinent electrical and mechanical equipment being an attractive nuisance, all of the electrical and pumping and apparatus associated with the reservoirs are within a building that is secure. So there's really no access to anything that is of any significance within these sites. So as a matter of facts, we feel that the prevailing perspective by these authorities and experience historically doesn't support the county's rather vague standards for having fencing. And that basically, we obviously hope for your approval, and that's all I can add.
Hi, thank you very much. Amen. Did any property owners want to testify? Yes, sir. Your name, please?
My name is Rick Pluger, P-L-U-E-G-E-R. I am a homeowner. My address is 105 Dove Hollow in the stated community.
All right, just a second here. I want to make sure. So I was thinking of property owners
Where the easement is on the two property owners. Yeah, I don't believe either one of them is here. But.
Mr.
Holt and Herman.
Yes. Mr. Holt and Mr. Herman. So they're not here.
Yeah. So
you're just an owner within the.
I am an owner, and I'm also the president of the HOA.
All right. Would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm or probably perjure any testimony that you will be true?
Yes.
Like
I'll be quick. I'm going to elaborate a little bit on Doug's comments, but I should also say that I'm here with two other members of our HOA, also owners within the stated property. So these new reservoirs are going with alongside existing reservoirs that have been in place for about 20 years. We've had zero incidences of any vandalism or security risks to the reservoirs. We are also a gated community, so it requires a specific code, which we change frequently to get in, and that's significantly down the road. Our CCNRs for the community specifically state requirements for fencing, and almost 100% of the time, we typically don't include chain link fences in that, so they would stand out from the existing fences we have. The reservoirs are not seen from any significant location outside a community, so it's not going to be something that someone driving down 97A can see and want to target. So our HOA board, there's seven of us, unanimously opposed the fencing, along with a substantial number, if not all, the owners for both aesthetic purposes and the increased financial hardship. I mean, this is a huge hit on all of our owners, and we're trying to keep the cost down as best we can. So other than that, we're excited to get this going. We're excited for the added protection and availability of water, and we thank you for your work on all this. So with that, that's
it. Anybody else want to testify on behalf of the applicant? Any member of the public wish to offer any testimony? Is there anything further from staff?
Just one point of clarification. So through the code, it does specify that the use shall be fenced, but it doesn't tell us what type of fencing is required. So chain link is not necessarily required. It just says fenced. So that can be anything, I suppose, as long as it's fenced.
I was looking at the use of the word shall is mandatory. Is there a way to get around that in the code other than to seek a variance or something?
Yeah, because there's nothing in the footnotes, I guess, that talk about variations to that requirement. Like I was saying with the landscaping, I mean, we can usually get around landscaping if it's fenced, but in this case, the landscaping is ideal because that way it would conceal the fence. But I think, yes, a variance would really be the only way, and I don't think that is worth it.
All right. Anything further from the applicant and staff's comments? All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to close the open record portion of this hearing, and I will have a review of everything, see what I can do, and I'll have a written decision here within the next 10 working days. One last item on today's agenda. This is also a conditional use permit application. It's given application number CUP 2019-010. This is an application that has been submitted. Hampton Drying Company through their agent Thad Shuck, Winton Manufacturing LLC for the installation and operation of a compost facility and compost pellet manufacturing facility. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. For the record, I'll amend into the record by this reference all of those application materials, including site maps, water information, aerial views, There's agency comments that have come through. There's public comments that have come through. There are noticing documents, CEPA documents. I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference, and turn this matter over to Mr. Kugel for the staff presentation.
Yes, the applicant is requesting a conditional use permit to install and operate a compost facility and compost pellet mill facility as an inert waste site use. The facility would operate on the existing site of the former Winton Lumber Mill and would utilize existing developed areas and structure whenever possible. The project plans to add a portable trailer for offices, a covered tipping, mixing, and grinding building, and pellet storage silos. The facility would receive commercial deliveries of feedstock and would not accept individual residential deliveries. All leachates and stormwater will be kept separate, and leachate will be used for the composting process or remove to a licensed wastewater treatment plant for disposal. The facility is located outside of the Appalachian quarantine zone. The subject properties are approximately 83 acres in size and are located in the rural industrial zoning district. Staff has reviewed the application materials and agency comments for consistency with applicable codes and regulations, and as condition recommends approval.
All right, thank you very much. So the there's going to be some operations within buildings, correct?
Yes.
And then what is it, just the storage then that's going to be taking storage of the raw materials outside?
The actual composting itself it will be happening outside, and then the I assume the storage of raw material will also be minimal they'll make it into compost as quickly as possible, and the pelletization, the pellet mill, will be inside. There is an existing company currently using the structure, and I think it's a over 100,000 square feet building. I think they are going to the best of their ability, keep that current tenant and kind of both utilize the space as best as possible. The covered tipping, mixing, grinding building is open in nature for the most part. It allows trucks to come in and dump their material, and they'll do some necessary processing if necessary.
All of the waste materials mm-hmm. will stay on site. There's no off-site discharge of them other than through transport.
Correct. The milk
compost facility.
Yes.
And they were taking in fish products. What is there food intended for this facility?
Not to the best of their ability, no. I'll let the applicant speak to that more. But to the best of their ability, no. It will mostly be agricultural waste in the form of trees that have been removed and branches and such from orchards, and waste from road crews clearing right of ways, and believe there'll be some home pickup from communities that will then get transported commercially to them, and to the best of that manner, some food waste may potentially be a portion of it, but it's not the intent for that to be any source of it.
I think the issue before was mm-hmm. large quantities of food fish
yeah.
from schools.
And I don't believe that to be one of the intended sources, but I'll let the applicant mm-hmm. speak more of it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
No, thank you. Not this time.
All right, thank you. Is the applicant ready to proceed? Come on up, sir. You have to state your name and address
Your Honor, I'm Thad Shute, 1251 White Bluff Street, Richland, Washington.
All right, Mr. Shute, you raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the public perjury and the testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Shute, are you here as an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the property owner and applicant today?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. What would you like to tell me about this project?
I think you get the general idea of it. I would just like to take the opportunity to thank the staff of community development, as well as the staff from all the other agencies that reviewed our application, commented on it, and gave the recommendations. We accept all the conditions that were put forth in the recommendations, and we look forward to and plan on being a good neighbor and part of the community for a long time to come.
All right, the site is a rather large site. Will the storage of the raw materials take place close to the buildings, or will it be on the edges of the property, and where do you the storage?
The storage of the finished products would, or the in development, I guess finished products, it's already been actively composted, would be on the periphery, but only in the portions that are already open where it's been stored, logs used to be stored. So we do not have any plans to open up any more ground or take out any trees or anything.
And this will be a commercial operation. You intend to sell pellets?
Yes.
Commercially? There are rather strict composting regulations, as I'm sure you're aware, by the Washington Administrative Code, and you're in agreement to comply with all of those requirements?
Yes.
I'm not sure if staff have this. What I will do sometimes, and I don't know that this is an appropriate kind of application to do it on, but I have on occasion put in a review period just for staff to be able to come back after you're in full operation for a couple of years to see how things are going and whether or not anything needs to be changed. Have any objection to a review period?
I don't have any objection. I would further add on to that that we have also submitted our application for the composting solid waste handling permit to the jurisdictional health district, which is Chelan Douglas County Health District. So we have already submitted an operations plan as well as much more technical, or I should say detailed information on there as well, and so yeah, that's already on recorded.
That's an important thing for sure. You've looked at all the proposed conditions of approval, and once again, you don't have any objection with any of those.
No objections.
All right, thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to add about this project?
Not at this time.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Turn this matter over to the public now. Do you remember the public about any testimony on this matter? Sure. Come on up and state your name and address.
My name is Jim Fighton,
and I live at 17401 Winton Road.
Can you spell your last name, sir?
F-E-I-T-E-N.
Fighton.
Yeah.
Oh,
right hand.
You swear for our ability to perjure the testimony given today will be true.
I do.
Thank you very much. And sir, what would you like to tell me about this?
Well, we're not trying to stand in the way of progress or anything, but we are the closest resident to this operation. Well, your SEPA report said a quarter of a mile. That would be to the furthest end of this 83 acres. We're probably 200 feet from the boundary, and maybe about 350 feet from where they're going to be composting. And our concerns are, like anybody who has a residence, this is our only home, and we're concerned about smells and noise. And the devaluation of our property and possible conditions we can't live next to. And we don't have a second residence, so it's our only home. And I've spoke with Thad in the past. We met back in September, and we just want to make sure the county's behind us on, you know, if this becomes something that's just non-livable, you know, just endless noise. Grinding is incredibly loud, tub grinders. You know, I mean, you've heard small grinders when people grind branches. This is going to be an industrial grinder. I don't know what the compost smells like. I don't even know what the actual product is. But like I said, we're downwind and we're right next door. So obviously we're very concerned. And if it's unbearable and drives us from our home, we probably can't even sell our place. I mean, would we put that in your real estate ad next door to a compost? I mean, that's a real, real selling point.
Okay.
So what I'm after is not to stand in Thad's way. I'm just wondering if the county's behind us to protect us against noise abatement and smell abatement.
Well, I can tell you that it's more than just the county. There's Land Douglas Health District, which is probably the bigger player, quite frankly.
Right.
Because as I indicated with the applicant, that there are specific regulations beyond even what we can do at the county level, for Land Douglas Health District and then the Washington District. If I do put a review period in, then that's a time that staff will then look and see what comments you have made and others have made during the course of this to see whether or not they are complying with their conditions of approval. You're not the enforcer. You're not supposed to be the enforcer.
I understand,
But you're the one who lives there, and if there is something going on then that may or may not be a violation, then that's important for you to let everybody know.
If
the county behind you, I think they're behind all their citizens, all their residents, but the code enforcement office is large. So like I said, you have the health district as well as county code enforcement if there is violations of the and then the review period, you come back and say, yeah, the smells are documented and worse than those that are escaping in greater quality, if you will, than allowed by the Washington District Code or the Health District regulations. And we look at proposing new or additional positions can't be mitigated.
Our biggest fear, I think, is noise. I mean, tub grinders and mulching giant timber and stuff. Everybody's heard a small brush grinder. That's a terrible sound. And if they're going to be industrial grinding, what do we do?
Yeah. Well, there are noise. The other thing is that there are, the Washington Administrative Code does address noise as well, just
do
so
they?
You're aware of that.
Okay.
It's measured in decibels at the property line between from one use to the other use. So the WAC sets forth what the decibel level, maximum decibel levels are during the night and during the day. And so that is something that's measurable. And it applies up in Winton, and it applies down in Leavenworth, and it applies in Eagle Rock.
Well, we felt kind of helpless because there's just a few of us up there, and it was like, well, that's not a whole community in here, asking for protection. And Thad's just a businessman. I'm not trying to stay in, I'm not trying to object to what he's doing. I just want to know that we can coexist. That's really why I'm here. So.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else wish to offer any testimony?
Yes, sir.
Your name and address, please.
Bill Thompson, 18,001 Winton Road.
All right, Mr. Thompson, would you raise your right hand for me to start our affirmative defense briefing? Any testimony you give today will be true.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Mr. Thompson, what would you like to tell me?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, I spent up the last 20, 25 years dealing with Longview Fiber and the Winton Mill. The county was not only extremely reluctant, but non-existent, coming out monitoring any complaints. I'll be right up front with that with everybody here. I've made dozens of complaints. The traffic on the road was incredible, with log trucks speeding up to 60, 70 miles an hour and 100 plus a day. These gentlemen have at least written up that they will not be using the full extent of Winton Road, so they're going to be using the new road put in straight to Highway 2, which we do appreciate. We're a little bit unique to this area because we own the land on three sides of this plant and even up into the yard itself. I've had the property listed for about 3 years with no sales. And I feel that putting this plant next door, I'm going to unlist the property because no one's going to buy it. We have a full 40 acres of forest land on one side of this plant. Other than the declining property value, if they keep their traffic as they have said they will do, we don't have too much trouble with it. There could always be something more intense to come in there because it is commercial property, which the county changed on their own. There was no vote, there was no time limit, there was nothing done as far as running this to rural industrial, which I own a piece of as well as Jim there. So we're pretty limited on a lot of our stuff. At any rate, if they continue with a good neighbor policy, we will stand on their side of this and see what comes out. You are aware that it is the headwaters of a small stream, which goes directly into Nason Creek and through my mine or family property for about 2 miles. County couldn't care less what was in that stream in the previous time. There was black water, toilet paper, everything in the world in it. The county made absolutely no effort to come up and clean this up. And I don't want to see a project like that get started and have no monitoring on it again. I know it sounds good here while we're talking about it, but no sheriffs came up, nothing. It was like we were unheard completely. And I've got livestock, dogs, other things, and all the wild game there that drank out of that particular stream. So we would request that there is some monitoring set forth on that. And unfortunately, it is impossible for 80 acres of snow to stay on premise. It will melt and it will run through the stream. I'm surprised that there are no fisheries people there. I don't think they really care too much about it, but I'm bringing up the facts so it's on record so you know. Because if the water quality changes too much, you'll get to know me really well. And that's about all I got. Thank you.
Anybody else wish to offer any testimony on this matter? Anything further from the applicant? Yes. So before we go there, is there anything further from staff?
We'll say that there is a suggested condition of approval in the staff report. That condition of approval number 13, that the applicant must ensure that noise, light, heat, steam, erosion, water quality, glare, odors, air pollution, smoke, wastes, dust, vibrations, electrical disturbances, and physical hazards do not impact adjacent properties.
And there's also the Washington Administrative.
And there is a Chelan County code for light and noise as well.
Alright, thank you very much. Alright.
Now,
again, can you state your name again for the record?
Thad Shute.
Alright, so what would you like to say there?
I just wanted to comment on the two community members, and I very much appreciate their concerns, and we are aware of those concerns, and we've had talks as well. I just wanted to add for the county's knowledge and for your honor, your knowledge as well, that on the grinding portion, this is designed actually to bring in material that is pre-ground as much as possible. So actually the grinding noise would be very minimal, if really at any. But we are aware of...
Let me ask you about the grinding.
Sure.
My experience with grinders other than what you do in the garage are... Aspen tree service out in front of somebody's house and they're jamming limbs down in there. Is that the kind of grinder we're talking about, or is it something much larger?
It would, typically in this industry, they're larger. There are several different designs, but they're able to handle a higher volume with more horsepower behind them. They can get through material fairly rapidly. So they are much bigger than just a little pull behind. I'm not sure exactly how to explain that though. But they are bigger than that.
Are they portable or not?
Yes, they'd be portable. They're usually be able to be pulled by a semi-tractor.
All right. The other thing I forgot, I'm going to let you go on here in a second, but
sure.
I forgot to ask you about raw materials. I talked to staff about fish, which is kind of a big deal in another hearing that I had, because the school district was bringing them apparently a lot of fish and chips and fish mix that would be ate. What do you anticipate as far as food, human food, as being part of the raw material?
There would be some food in the raw material. However, it would be blended, ground mixed, and mixed with yard debris and green waste. So it wouldn't really be recognizable as any food. That is part of the plan. It's a minimal amount. I couldn't tell you exactly what. We know that in curbside separation programs for yard debris, they're allowed to put food in with that. Scraps out of the kitchen, and there could be some other food as well. But we would not be bringing in material that is just straight loads of food like what you're referring to.
Not school district?
No, there's no intention.
Restaurant, food stock?
Not to my knowledge. That's not an immediate plan, I should say. When we understand the issues with that, and yeah.
Okay. All right. I interrupted.
Sure. I was just going to say, as far as is the concerns, and I appreciate the concerns from the neighbors. We do want to be good neighbors. We that more explanations, and I can talk to them as well directly. But for your knowledge, I just wanted to say that there is much more detail within the solid waste handling plan application of how we address odors and the technologies that we're using. It's an in-vessel system, so it's not just open air when it's actively composting. That we're aware of those different issues and do everything that we can to minimize any kind of impact. So I think that should cover it, unless you have any other questions.
Those were my questions. No, I'm good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, so what I'm going to do is I am going to close the public record portion of the hearing at this time. I'll have a written decision made for the next 10 working days. If you want a copy of my decision, you should let staff know on the form. I assume there's a question on the form to let them know so you get a copy of it. I'll have a written decision made for the next 10 working days. There are no other items on today's agenda, so I'm now going to adjourn this October 16, 2019 meeting here together. I do appreciate everybody who came out today to come in and talk to me. It means something to me. I hear it, and I'm going to try to figure a way around it. Okay? Anyway, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.